no class this Thursday. Take a break. Gene Vindal had his surgery today on his back. It was successful as far as the doctors can tell. He's in the Tri-Point Hospital up here on 4490. He's in, continued in recovery at this point in time. Keep him in your prayers for an expedient recovery. And if you want to drop by and see him on the way home, he'll probably sleep right through it. But if you have any other questions, David Zeller will probably fill you in on it. The Word of God is alive and powerful, sharpening any two-edged sword. Piercing even to dividing asunder the soul and the spirit, the joints and the marrow, the critic of the thoughts and intents of the heart. All scripture is God-breathed and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction, righteousness, that the man of God might be mature, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Studies show yourself approved unto God, workman does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Proceeding to the doctrine of love. Pick up page 3 of the notes. All right, if you've not already done so, now's the time to rebound if you need to secure the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit, the FCA in its cage, so to speak, so that we can once again approach the dissemination of the truth of Bible doctrine undistorted by the sin nature and be enlightened under the gap system. Truly, the spiritual realities of the truth of Bible doctrine, so that we can not only understand but adhere to God's plan in our life in action with honor. So with that in mind, we'll give the opportunity to rebound if necessary as we start with our customary word of prayer. Father, again, we thank you for your many grace and mercies. We ask once again this evening that God the Holy Spirit will enlighten us to truth and matters at hand. In Jesus' name. All right, here under the doctrine of love, as we are discussing, there are three levels of employment of love available for the positive believer, especially in this regards. There is sexual love. This love is reserved for husband and wife in a divine institution of marriage. It is the affectionate, intimate relationship between the spouses in this regards, and it's only in this arena that this love is allowed before God and honored by God. Otherwise, it is a sinful activity. So sexual love is one that most people recognize, even though it is grossly abused and misunderstood. Second, there is affectionate, or as we might say, a natural love. This love looks to the attributes of the one to whom one has love for. This love is the highest love that can be attained by unbelievers and the negative world at large otherwise. It is the kind of love that can be driven by emotions, though emotions are not necessary with respect to its expression, as it relates to friendships, familial relationships, physical relationships otherwise. And God has this type of love with respect to those who are positive, as well as His Son, Jesus Christ. So this love, affectionate love, under the phileo word group for love in the New Testament, is the primary love understood by the world and is functioned under by the world otherwise. Now, the highest form of love is the kind of love that can only be expressed by a believer, and then a believer who is willing to allow God the Holy Spirit to rule in regards to their Christian life. So just pick up Roman numeral 3, subpoint C, page 3 of our notes. Divine love under the agapao, agape word group, is the most far-reaching kind of love. Emotions are not the motivator of this love. In fact, emotional considerations are moot with regard to its application. They're non-issue. This love does not depend on the merit of the object, rather it is comprised of the mental attitude, willingness, our choice, under our own volition, to set aside one's own ideas, plans, good welfare, or advantage, feelings, etc., and do what is in the best interest of the object in the divine good sense, spiritually. Under the concept of divine love, obviously, it has spiritual ramifications. And under spiritual truth is the only way that this love can operate. One, agape is an attribute of divine essence. It is an attribute of God. In fact, all three members of the Godhead, as God is love, so it is equally present, point two, in all three members of the Godhead, A, the Father, B, the Son, and C, the Holy Spirit. Three, God's love does not exist apart from his righteousness and justice. Therefore, it is not sentimental, but faithful. It's pure. Since God acts according to the standards of his own absolute righteousness, as plus R, his love is not motivated by personal considerations, or nor is it based on the merits of the recipients. It is based solely on his own righteous character. His plus R cannot be violated in any expression of God otherwise, or else he ceases to be God. And that includes the attribute of love, which the fundies, again, completely abuse and misunderstand in regards to God. Four, where we left off, since each member of the Godhead is absolutely righteous, it follows that each member of the Trinity loves the other. The harmony, unity that comes from pure, unadulterated love is found, obviously, in the Godhead. And that is brought out in regards to the Lord's Prayer recorded for us in John 17, 1 through 23. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, that the Son may glorify you. Through Christ's obedience and going to the cross and resurrection that will follow. And this all glorifies the Godhead, the Son and the Father together, even as you gave him, the Son, authority over all mankind, that to all whom you have given him, he may give eternal life. Looking at the doctrine of election of God, of whom God foreknew, it would be positive. Those are the ones that are given to Christ. And this is eternal life, that they may know you in the fullest of sense, experientially. The only true God in Jesus Christ, whom you have sent, as essentially they are inseparable in their deity and essence. I glorified you on the earth, having accomplished the work which you have given me to do. You apply Bible doctrine, you glorify God. If you don't apply Bible doctrine, you do not glorify God. And now you glorify me together with yourself, Father. The exalting that is to be part of the celebration of the gift of salvation through Jesus Christ. Father, with the glory which I had with you before the world was, in his humanity, he was in a state of humility at the first advent. Now he resides in a glorified state, reflecting the essence, etc., of what he was as God and what he is as God. I manifested your name to the men, verse 6, whom you gave me out of the world, revealed it. Yours they were, and you gave them to me, and they have kept your word. Now they have come to know that everything you have given me is from you. For the words which you gave me, I have given to them, and they received them and truly understood that I came forth from you, and they believed that you did send me. Speaking of his disciples, his followers, who embrace him as truly the Son of God, God in the flesh. And he says, I ask on their behalf in the prayer. I do not ask on behalf of the world, those who are negative. This only relates to truly positive volition. But of those whom you have given me, for they are yours, as they equally share in possession regards to believers, and all things that are mine are yours, and yours are mine, and have been glorified in them. I am no more in the world, and yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father, recognizing His absolute righteousness and His justice, keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we, to be united in spirit. Be of God, the Holy Spirit, even as we are, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, i.e. Judas Iscariot, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now I come to you, these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy made full in themselves, as it is cultivated in regards to their own positive volition, continued intake of doctrine and understanding God, Jesus Christ, and His plan, and hence have an inner joy, inner happiness. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, the antagonism, the negative volition against the truth, from simple disregard to outright hostility, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. We are born again. We have a new kingdom to which we are now a citizen of. That is the kingdom of God. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Set them apart for God's own purpose. And Bible doctrine is the truth. Your word is truth. As you did send me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. Looking at Christ in His own volition and His humanity, setting Himself apart as the Messiah to go to the cross, so all these things can become a reality who believe in Him. I do not ask for half of these alone, but for those also who believe in me through their word, as the gospel is spread, that they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, that they also may be in us, through positional truth, that the world may believe that you did send me. And the glory which you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that the world may know that you did send me, and did love them, even as you did love me, looking at divine love and the benefits that is placed upon those who will embrace God's love through His Son, Jesus Christ. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given me, be with me where I am, in order that they may behold my glory, which you have given me. Christ wants them to hurry up and get to phase 3 so they can see Him truly in resurrection glory. That will be amazing when you experience that. Which you have given me, for you did love me before the foundation of the world. Looking at God's expression of love as it is directed in benefit and for application, truly for positive volition as epitomized through the humanity of Jesus Christ as the God-man. O righteous Father, although the world has not known you, yet I have known you, and these have known that you did send me. I have made your name known to them, and will make it known that the love wherewith you did love me may be in them, and I in them. Looking at the ministry of God the Holy Spirit as it will be functioning for these believers, as it did in regards to humanity of Jesus Christ, otherwise of divine love. So 5, the agape love of God is most closely resembled now by the Hebrew word chesed. Chesed has a nuance of loyalty or faithfulness, fidelity, mercy, kindness, immutability, all those synonyms. It is this word that emphasizes that which governs God's love. In other words, it sets its boundaries. Love is an extension of God's righteousness and justice. Psalm 89:14. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. The whole integrity of God and His plan rests on those two attributes. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How all that is disseminated and manifested is through His love expressed through the truth of doctrine in regards to His creation. God reveals these three attributes together. Jeremiah 9:24. Verse 23, that says, "O Lord, let not a wise man boast of his wisdom. And let not the mighty man boast of his might. Let not a rich man boast of his riches. But let him boast of this." You want to have real pride. Pride that is honorable. It's not in your physical accoutrements and abilities and capabilities. See, what you possess. What you are able to intellectually discern otherwise in regards to the things of this world. Let him boast, you want to boast, let him boast of this, that he understands and knows me. To have the discernment and insight of who and what God is, and what he stands for, and what he is all about in regards to his plan. That I am the Lord, who exercises loving kindness, our term kesem, loyal love, if you will. Fidelity, divine love, justice, and righteousness on earth, as all three go hand in hand. For I delight in these things, declares the Lord. So see, His love reveals His mercy and is consistent or immutable and unchanging. Micah 7:18. Who is a God like you who pardons iniquity, willing to forgive injustice and sin, and passes over the rebellious act of the remnant of His possession? Here, emphasis on the positive issue that will come out of Israel in the last days, and looking over their otherwise bleak history for the last 2,000 years in unbelief. He does not retain His anger forever, because He delights in unchanging love, His immutable expression of loyal love, the love that He promises to benefit those who are positive, no matter what their heritage or ancestry may have been otherwise. So D, His love is not apart from Bible doctrine, but goes hand in hand with it. Psalm 85:10, which I have written out here, our term kesed, loving kindness, merciful love, and truth have met together. They pair up. They are right opposite numbers. The reality of that being in the person of Jesus Christ, obviously. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Because Christ fulfilled the law, qualifying Him as sin bearer, reconciliation has been achieved. The affection that Jesus Christ had for God's plan is what brought all this about and made this possible. And they are seen under terms of the closest affection that man and woman can relate to. So He, as divine love, promotes justice, either good or bad. Good, Psalm 62:12. is yours, O Lord, for you did recompense a man according to his work. An expression of his love there in a good sense, according to doing what is right, in a bad sense. See Exodus 3, 4, 7. Verse 6, then the Lord passed by in front of him. Moses proclaimed the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in loyal love, or term, and truth, who keeps loyal love for thousands, who forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin. Yet he will by no means leave the guilty unpunished, visiting the iniquity of fathers on the children and on the grandchildren to the third and fourth generations, as they follow the suit of their parents under negative volition. So while he expresses love good towards those who are positive, his expression of love comes under the form of wrath or judgment, discipline, in regards to those who rebel against him. Numbers 14, 18. Again, same parallel. God is full of grace, but sooner or later, all men will answer. And if people don't orient and line up, then they'll meet part of God they don't want to meet. F, it is the volition of the individual that renders divine love as a love of substance and real, or, on the other hand, makes it empty or vacant of reality. Whether one is positive or negative is what makes divine love real and gives it substance. Deuteronomy 5:10. Showing loving kindness to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. As the evidence regards to love. That is those who are positive. They're the ones who keep God's commandments. Psalm 25:10. All the paths of the Lord are loyal love and truth to those who keep this covenant, Mosaic covenant, and his testimonies, to adhere to his institution of morality and spiritual realities. Psalm 86:5, there to all who call upon you, is the caveat in regards to his love. For you, Lord, are good and ready to forgive and abundant in loving kindness to all who call upon you. To call upon God is a rendition of those who are true seekers of God. G, there is absence of divine love in the life of the unrighteous, but it comes in spades to the righteous in regards to the benefits of the good things in regards to that associated with love. Psalm 32:10. Many are the pains of the wicked, the sorrows. He who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. Faith rests in regards to keeping your STA at bay, not trying to engage in energy of the flesh to solve all your problems, but to look to Bible doctrine. To allow God the Holy Spirit to rule in your life rather than the STA. 6, agapao is also used in a bad context. Where it embraces the idea of commitment, allegiance, loyalty to an object. It reflects upon one's own negative volition and the evil propensity of negative volition in that respect. It's used in that contained in John 3:19. This is a judgment. The light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light. That's our term. Their attributes are negative in regards to the truth of Bible doctrine. And therefore, they embrace that which is opposite of the truth, which is darkness compared to light. Then 1 John 2:15. Do not love the world. Stop loving the world. The negative volition and that which it represents, including those who represent it, nor the things in the world. Don't assume the attributes necessary to embrace this. To let the SCA and her negative volition rule your life. If anyone loves the world, the love for the Father is not in him. Seven. Obviously, the majority of times, though, this term is used is in a good sense, in a divine love. Seven, it is of interest to note that the writers of the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Hebrew Masoretic text, render God's love for righteousness and justice as agapao, through his faithfulness to the entirety of his plan that fills the earth. Psalm 33:5, he loves, our term agapao in the Septuagint, righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the faithful, immutable love of the Lord. It is available to all. So, this is the idea that not all will take benefit from it. Eight, divine love also requires a sacrifice in its application. As brought out in regards to God's love, willingly giving and sacrificing his uniquely begotten Son, Jesus Christ, on behalf of the world. John 3:16. Sacrifice is you're willing to set aside your emotions, your feelings, desires otherwise, and make Bible doctrine the standard by which you are now going to express yourself in love towards the individual. So nine, believers are commanded to have this love. Love one another is a royal imperative. 10, for believers to have this love, they must fall under the same parameters of restrictions and sacrifices God's love while maintaining total integrity to the truth. As John 17, we saw in verses 23 and 26, regards to the love of being the same as the Father's and the Son's. So 11, this love by believers originates in the soul under the filling of God the Holy Spirit, and is demonstrated by the willingness to make whatever applications necessary within the parameters of Bible doctrine. Again, Bible doctrine is that which governs this love under the filling ministry of God the Holy Spirit. If you're out of fellowship or you're out of step with the application of doctrine, you're not operating under divine love. Whatever else, other kind of love it may be, it is not divine love. It is not the highest form of love. 12, because emotions are neutral in the application of this love, and the worthiness or merit of the individual to which it is expressed is a non-issue, it's also moot. It is possible for us to therefore have agape type love even for our enemies. As we are commanded to love our enemies. And again, if you don't know which Greek word is being used in these verses, and all you see is the King James English, you'll never figure it out. Just like the Fundies, don't figure these things out. Luke 6, against this modeling, syrupy, erroneous approach in regards to love the enemy concept promoted by the Fundies. nations need to feed their other antagonistic and hostile nations, things of that nature, the kind of tribe and dangerous type of thinking that comes out of this erroneous distortion of Bible doctrine. Luke 6:27. Woe to you when all men speak well of you. Or verse 27, excuse me. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you. Seek to apply Bible doctrine rather than retaliate on their own level under the STA, see, is the idea. Obviously, if they're out to kill you, defend yourself. Kill them first. When you die, get up ahead and let God sort it out, right? The stupidity that comes out of a believer's ignorance. That was, what am I supposed to be reading here? Oh, 27 and 35. But love your enemies and do good and lend. Expect nothing in return. And I'll talk about doing a business deal with someone. Talking about if you're going to make application of giving, then you should do it without strings attached. Expecting nothing in return. That's not one thing, not only the money, but certain expectations of favors and things otherwise. If you're going to make the application of giving to emulate Jesus Christ, sacrifice it, no one even, probably most people will not appreciate it. Take that attitude and try applying. And your reward will be great if you can maintain your attitude, right attitude, stay in fellowship. Then understand that the SG3 here is seen to be exceptional for this application. And it can be in time as well as money. And you will be sons of the Most High, for He Himself is kind to ungrateful and evil men. People do you wrong on the job or at school, and you have opportunity to get back to them to do it. Get in fellowship and do it. You don't have to be fundy about it either. Just make your application. You don't have to go up and say, did you notice what I'm doing for you now? Now you're out of line. That is nothing but approbation. Just make your application and move on. Put it in God's hands. And if they have any sense of compassion, any sense of intellectual honesty within themselves, it'll have a proper impact. If not, they're negative, and who cares? They're moving on. And let God handle it. Let God take the revenge on your behalf and heap upon them coals, see. Instead of constantly retaliating on the same level that they are engaged in. Be careful when you argue with a fool. People may not get confused of who's speaking to who. See, remember that one. Because divine love originates from the Holy Spirit. Where did that come from? Hopefully the Holy Spirit. Because divine love originates from the Holy Spirit, it is impossible for unbelievers to possess it. It is also impossible for the believer to express it, who is out of fellowship and not therefore ruled by God and Bible doctrine. Galatians 5:22, the attribute of divine love is a fruit of the Spirit. It keeps on being the fruit of the Spirit. It can only come through the possible. It's only made possible through the love of God for us and the regeneration of our human spirits, which has the procreational love of right opposite numbers in view metaphorically. So, that doctrine is cool. D. Agapao focuses primarily on the spiritual welfare or interest of the object, while phileo focuses on the gravitational affection generated by the object. So if you really love people, part of times the sacrifice you have to make is, well, you know, as long as you don't not willing to get your spiritual act together, then, you know, our friendship has to be basically a arm's distance. People don't like to make that kind of application. Like you're not helping the individual, I can tell you that. I don't care how you may have otherwise in the past convinced yourself otherwise. They're positive they'll recognize it. People are here in Bible class not because of who and what we are physically as people, even though we may be responsible to express the truth. They're here because they're positive. And they came to that grips and understanding the importance of regards to why they need to be in Bible class. This funding mentality that you can save people again, that one grates my nerves. It's so abused. And it's why doctrine is basically blackballed in regards to the area of separation and other things and applications in this area of people's lives. Roman numeral 4, love and the attributes of God. A, love is but one of the attributes of God's essence, which also includes His absolute righteousness, His plus R, which is the watchdog, the rest of His attributes, along with His justice, eternal life. It's always been, is, and always will be. There's not been a time that God has not existed. Immutability, as His faithfulness, He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. His veracity, His absolute truth. You depend on God not to yank your chain in regards to the issues of life. He's omniscient. He knows all things. He's not learning anything. What men may think they are in regards to terms of genius is nothing compared to God. God created that which gives them the ability to even think at the level they're able to think. And He provides all that which they can look at and draw upon in order to come to their understanding. He created all that. But the arrogance of man, they're smarter than God. They don't need God. That'll be an eye-opener for them one of these days. Omnipotence, He's all-powerful. He spoke in creation out of nothing, ex nihilo, the entire universe. And it didn't wear Him out. He wasn't breathing hard after the fact. He had to go take a nap on the seventh day. Now He just took a break to teach us a principle in regards to what we need to do on occasion, instead of working ourselves into the ground and never taking a break. Not faith rest in regards to things, etc., as the doctrine of the Sabbath all points out. Omnipresence. He fills all space. All the space between all atoms and subparticle atoms, if they can figure it out. Which they say they're getting close. And sovereignty. His will. He is the creator. B, righteousness and justice, as we state, are the watchdogs of God's essence. C, all other attributes must check their expression if they would violate His righteousness in their expression. So that is how doctrine is designed for us to apply. It does not violate His righteousness in that regard. D, God's love is only expressed in accordance with righteousness and justice. Otherwise it would be partial, and thus He would cease to be totally righteous. He would cease to be God. God can't be partial. Bible doctrine is a perfect balance of justice, a perfect, pure justice. Exodus 34, 6 and 7. Then the Lord passed by in front of him, proclaimed the Lord God, compassionate, gracious, slow to anger, etc. We read this earlier. And Deuteronomy 7. Verses 6 through 11. For you are a holy people to the Lord your God. As believers, the Lord your God has chosen you to be a people for His own possession out of all the peoples around the face of the earth. The Lord did not set His love on you, nor choose you because you were more in number than any of the peoples, for you were the fewest of all peoples. In regards to those like them, they were the minority, not based on majority. I guess God's not into true democracy, is He? That we think is so cool. But because the Lord loved you and kept the oath which he swore to your forefathers, the Lord brought you out by a mighty hand, redeemed you from the house of slavery, from the hand of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, based on their political issue. Know therefore that the Lord your God, he is God, the faithful God who keeps his covenant and his loyal love to a thousandth generation with those who love him and keep his commandments, being the caveat. That's what qualifies in bringing his loyal love in this regards. You've got to return that love, and you do so by obedience to his word that repays those who hate him, to know that these are the standards that make any difference how, who, what you are otherwise. You fall under one of these two that repays those who hate him to their faces, to destroy them. Ultimately, under sin and death, he will not lay with him who hates him. He will pay him to his face, personally, up front and personal. Therefore, you will keep the commandment, the statutes and judgments which I am commanding you today to do them. It's not a matter of how nice someone is, you know. Oh, this person, you know, their personality is great. They're a lot of fun to be with. So that makes it all right to hang out with them, even though God hates their guts because they're negative, so to speak. Like an Esau. He hated Esau because he was negative. They despise truly his words. And they can expect the payback in wrath. The believers are so much more smarter than God, and they think they're above that. And they can embrace negative volition in spite of what God says in regards to not embracing it. God is not partial like people are. Either you line up or you don't. And you pay the piper one way or the other. E, while God loves all of mankind, his love is limited in benefit based on his righteousness and justice. F, it is thus restricted due to negative volition. John 5:42. But I know you, Pharisees, religious leaders of Jesus' time, unbelievers, that you do not have the love of God in yourselves. They don't have the kind of love that God wants us to have, that comes from God because of their negative volition. G, since God is immutable, his love is eternal and unchanging. In Micah 7:18-20, earlier. We read 18:19, he will again have compassion on us, he will tread our iniquities underfoot. Yes, you will cast all their sins to the depths of the sea. You will give truth to Jacob and unchanging love to Abraham through the Abrahamic covenant, his promise, which you did swear to our forefathers in the days of old. H, God loves the world. It's agape love, agapao love, John 3:16. I, however, both loves and has affection, phileo group, included, for the believer. 1 John 4:9-19 is the agapao term used. All through this section, it's dealing with divine love. For this love of God is manifested in us, that God has sent us us his uniquely begotten Son into the world so that we might live through him as eternal life and live spiritually. Is it in this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins, the satisfaction through his work on the cross and judgment. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. As we know, in priority. No one has beheld God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us. That's technical through the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's evidence that we run in fellowship, and his love is perfected in us. When you're in fellowship, you're applying doctrine. It is perfect, experientially. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us. He in us is the doctrine that accompanies the filling of the Holy Spirit in our application of love, because he's given us of his Spirit. And we have beheld and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son to be the Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God, under the terms of positional truth. He abides in him through the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And we have come to know and have believed the love that which God has in us, literally. God is love. The one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. By this love is perfected with us, in order that we may have confidence in the day of judgment at the Bema Seat. All the divine good that will be associated with that, the SG3 package. Because as he is, so also are we in this world. There is no fear in love. The perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves punishment. The one who fears is not perfected in love. We love because he first loved us. And that's the only way that that love is possible, that he first loved us. Then compare John 16:27, where you have the phileo term used in that context. Where the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from the Father. To blanket state that God's love is unconditional or unlimited. This is just for discernment, trying to be accurate in regards to how you communicate with others. Just blanket state that God's love is unconditional or unlimited is a misnomer based on his essence. These terms, if applied to his love, should be mentally qualified with the proper doctrines such as unlimited atonement, impartiality, grace, his filling ministry, etc. Whether you're dealing with positional truth, experiential truth, etc. Alright, we'll just call it quits here for this evening, and we'll see you soon. Father, again, we thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to you and light us to these things in Jesus' name.